Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom we can indeed trust, not only with our life, but also our eternity. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do you remember a man by the name of Ron Popeil? What if I told you that he was a world-famous inventor and the father of the infomercial? Do names such as the Chop-O-Matic, Mr. Microphone, the Pocket Fisherman, the Veg-O-Matic, and the Rhinestone Stud Setter jog any memories? How about phrases such as seen on TV? But wait, there's more. Now, how much would you pay? And of course, last but not least, less shipping and handling. Back in the 1950s and 60s, Ron Popeil, his inventions and his infomercials were household staples and household names. One of his most famous inventions is the rotisserie oven. Along with that invention, he put together an infomercial that contained that catchy phrase, "Set it and forget it." You put your food in, you set the oven, and you walk away. No mess, no fuss, just set it and forget it. That memorable saying gives us what I think to be a very good handle on how we can study our sermon text for today. Our goal this morning, my friends, is to see how Mary, Jesus' mother, gives us a beautiful example of someone who commits their problem to the Lord and then forgets it. Forgets it by trusting that Jesus will most certainly take care of that problem for her. With that perspective in mind, our sermon theme for today is commit it and forget it. The situation that confronted Jesus here in John chapter 2 is very straightforward and very easy for us to understand. Jesus was an invited guest at a wedding where they ran out of wine. At the very least, this was a very embarrassing situation for the groom and his bride. At the very worst, this could have been utterly humiliating for this new couple. We get the impression that Jesus' mother, Mary, was very close to either the bride or the groom. And so she was not only involved in serving at this wedding, but she also had authority over the servants at this wedding. We get that impression when John says to us in our text, "When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, 'They have no more wine.' 'Dear woman, why do you involve me?' Jesus replied. 'My time has not yet come.' His mother said to the servants, 'Do whatever he tells you.'" Why did Mary go to Jesus just to inform him they have no more wine? Did she share this information with her son simply because she felt bad for this bride and for this groom and the embarrassing and potentially humiliating situation they found themselves in? Or was Mary expecting that her son Jesus would do something to solve this situation? Since Mary believed what the angel Gabriel had told her some 30 years before this wedding took place, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." And since Mary undoubtedly remembered what her 12-year-old son said to her after she and Joseph had frantically searched for Jesus for 3 days in the city of Jerusalem, "Don't you know that I must be about my father's business?" we cannot rule out the possibility that Mary was expecting her son Jesus to perform a miracle in order to solve this embarrassing and potentially humiliating problem. In fact, Jesus' response to Mary seems to point us in that direction. A very literal translation of what Jesus said to Mary here in John chapter 2 is, "What is there between me and you, woman? my hour has not yet come. While this response may sound a little harsh to our ears today, in reality it was far more formal than harsh. Jesus wanted Mary to know that the relationship that existed between them was no longer that of a mother and a son. Now that Jesus had entered into the public phase of his ministry here on this earth, Jesus wanted Mary to know that the relationship that existed between them was now the relationship of a Lord and his disciple. Mary needed to understand that Jesus already knew what he was going to do to solve this problem when the time was right. Mary's reaction to Jesus' response is what gives us our sermon theme for today, Commit It and Forget It. Notice, my friends, that Mary did not question Jesus, did she? Nor did she walk away feeling dejected and disappointed. Mary had brought this problem to Jesus, trusting, absolutely trusting, that he could and would do what was best. Then she simply turned to the servants and said, "Do whatever he tells you." Mary had incredible faith in Jesus, her Lord and her Savior. Even though it might seem to us as though Mary had been rebuffed by Jesus, Mary knew that Jesus would most certainly take care of this situation in his own time, in his own way, and we might add, for his own purpose. Jesus' purpose for taking care of this embarrassing situation was not simply to save this bride and groom from being humiliated in front of their guests. No, my friends, Jesus' purpose for taking care of this problem is very clearly brought out in the closing verse of our text. This, the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Jesus' miracles were never designed to impress or to entertain the people around him. No, rather, Jesus' miracles were always designed to impress upon the people that they needed to listen to what he was teaching them and then put their faith and trust in him as the long-awaited promised Messiah, their only Lord and Savior. Have you ever been in a situation that was similar to the situation Mary found herself in here at this wedding at Cana? Have you ever brought a problem to Jesus in prayer, and it seemed as though he was not listening to you or willing to answer your prayer? Have you ever felt as though your prayers got as high as the ceiling, and then somehow they just kind of got stuck there? If so, you are not alone, my friends. In Psalm 6, we hear great King David anguishly pray to the Lord, "How long, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love." And in Psalm 13, great King David lifts up this lament to the God of heaven. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart?" And in the book of Habakkuk, we hear the Lord's prophet, the Lord's servant, lift up this complaint to the Lord his God. "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflicts abound." Yes, my friends, there are indeed times when a child of God brings their problem to the Lord in prayer, and it seems as though he either does not hear them or is not willing to help them. What do you need to commit to Jesus in prayer. Is there a health problem that has been keeping you up at night? Has one of your children or one of your grandchildren done something or not done something that simply fills your heart with grief? Have you sat back helplessly and watched as your very well thought out, well made plans come unraveled right before your very eyes, and there was nothing that you could do to stop it? Has your retirement taken a turn that you never, ever anticipated? Are you concerned about the decisions that are or not being made in Sacramento or in Washington? What problem, what situation simply seems to be overwhelming you as a child of God? Whatever it is, my friends, commit it to Jesus in prayer and then forget it. But what exactly does that mean? It means two things. First of all, it means that, like Mary here in our text, you go directly to Jesus Christ himself and you explain to him your problem. You explain to him the situation that is overwhelming you. Scripture assures us that as a Christian, as a dearly beloved child of God, we have the right, we have the privilege to approach God's eternal throne of grace in prayer with freedom and with confidence. Scripture also assures us that as a Christian, as a dearly beloved child of God, we know that in Him, we not only have someone who completely understands every problem, every situation that we encounter as we journey through this world, but in Him, we have someone who has both the power and the desire to help us. So whatever it is, no matter how big your problem might be, no matter how overwhelming your situation might seem, take it to Jesus in prayer and say to him, Lord, I need you to fulfill your promises and take care of this problem for me. Once you have taken it to Jesus in prayer, once you have committed your situation to the Lord your God, then forget it. Notice that even though Jesus' response to Mary, to us at least, seems rather harsh, Mary did not try to find another solution to the problem that she was facing. Mary had so much trust, so much faith in Jesus, that she knew he would most certainly take care of it in his own time and in his own way. And so once again, that's why she immediately turned to the servants and said to them, do whatever he tells you. From my experience, committing our problems to Jesus in prayer, that's the easy part, my friends. Forgetting that problem, that is completely trusting in him to take care of that problem for us, well, that is oftentimes much more difficult. All too often, we'll take a problem to Jesus in prayer, but then we also try to figure out a way that we can solve that problem all on our own. This is where I sometimes struggle, or perhaps I should say, this is where I sometimes stumble. Whenever I am facing a problem in my own personal life, whenever I am facing a problem in my professional life, I always include it in my nightly prayers to the Lord my God. But then all too often, I find myself lying awake in my bed trying to figure out how I can solve that problem. All too often, I wake up in the middle of the night and that problem is still bouncing around inside of my head. That's why I've learned to close my evening prayers by saying, help me to trust in your plan, in your power, and in your promises. I'm kind of fond of alliteration. I sleep a lot better when I not only commit my problems to Jesus in prayer, but then I forget them, trusting that he has a plan to take care of whatever problem I encounter in my life. A very good scripture passage that I think ties in with our sermon theme, commit it and forget it, is Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? As surely as you and I trust that the Lord our God has already solved our biggest problem of all by sending his only begotten Son to suffer and die on the cross to completely pay for all of our sins, so also, we can certainly trust that the Lord our God will solve all these little problems that we encounter as we journey through this world. Ron Popeil and his rotisserie oven may indeed still be remembered by a number of people today, but as time passes by, my friends, fewer and fewer people will remember him, his inventions, or his infomercials. But the example that Mary sets for us here at the wedding of Cana, that is an example that the faithful children of God will remember right down to the very day that Mary's son returns to this earth in all of his power, majesty, and glory. Therefore, my prayer this morning is that whenever you encounter a problem in your own personal life, that you will follow the example that Mary gives to you here in John chapter 2. Commit your problem to Jesus in prayer, and then trust him. Trust that he will indeed take care of that problem for you. To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise.